You're listening to the Positive Finpack Podcast.
My name is Aiden. I'm a public speaker, a business consultant, a corporate trainer, and a professional improviser.
And I'm Marjorie.
And we've been friends for 14 years. This podcast is an experiment.
Where we talk about me trying every diet program under the sun and the moon and who knows where else.
The Positive Finpack Podcast is proudly sponsored by The Art of Change, Skills for Life. Change is inevitable. Progress is not. You make the difference. To learn more, visit artofchange.com. In this episode, we're talking about the dark place. And let's be honest, this is never an easy thing to talk about. The voices that give us negative messages, the self-sabotaging behaviors, the fights that we get into, feeling like we're spinning out of control. Everybody's dark place is different, but everybody has a dark place.
So, Sunday. I got in a fight with somebody that was very near and dear to my heart. And so here's the thing. Some people, like, it was not a fight. It was just like a spat kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But, and it was stupid. And it was just, normally I'd say, and it was totally my fault. I really, in this instance, don't feel like it was totally my fault still. Mm-hmm. But, most of the people I'm close to are elderly people, and they say and do things sometimes that trigger me, and I'm just a raw nerve lately, so it doesn't take much to trigger me. And so then I kind of stand up for myself, and that's new to me. Honestly, most of the time when people say things that I don't agree with, or I don't, and I don't feel like fighting with them, or not even fighting with them, just speaking up for myself, disagreeing with anybody, a lot of my tactic is to go, which anyone that knows me well knows when I say, that means it's not worth fighting with you, but, I don't agree at all.
Am I doing it now?
No. No, it's you have to put a little disgust behind it.
Oh, like this.
Kind of, but you have to draw it out a little bit too.
Well, here's what I know it doesn't sound like. It doesn't sound like this.
Right. But a lot of times people hear what they want to in that. And so if they want you to agree with them, then they'll think, you get it. That's what a lot of people hear. So that's my tactic for dealing with people that I don't really want to, especially people that I find their opinions odious or something, and I'll just say,
Yeah. Okay, but hold on. Hold the phone.
Okay.
I keep saying that. So on Sunday.
On Sunday.
I was leaving a conference. I was at a train station in upstate New York. No, in Long Island. Look, I don't really know exactly where I was because I was on the opposite coast from where I live. But I know that I was at a train station getting ready to go somewhere. And I got a text from you that was really sad. You were in the dark place. And
I was.
I want to tell people what the text said. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, although I'm pretty embarrassed and really sad that I texted you because I knew you were at this conference.
Well, technically the conference was over, but
I knew you were out of town.
Sure. Is it okay if I share this?
Yeah.
And I'm not reading it because I guess I could, but I don't want to. But here's what stuck with me that felt very sad. You said, you were asking, what do I do with that feeling of self-hatred? And you were like, if I can't drown it in a greasy cheeseburger, what do I do? Self-flagellation? And I gave you a funny response, but I, because that's, oh, good. Because I often think that levity is helpful when you're in the dark place. It isn't always though. But you know, so I made a joke about how self-flagellation isn't as much fun as it looks like in the movies. But I think that what you said about that self-hatred was, it made me feel very sad. And it also felt to me like something that I'm guessing a lot of people go through. And I think what struck me about it was when we talked on the phone, because I called. You called me. Well, I texted you. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
We talked on the phone.
We talked. Because you're a good friend.
We talked on the phone. And it sounded to me like you had an argument with a person in your life that matters to you. But rather than dismiss it as like, they're a crazy old person, or they're a person who's stuck in their ways, or they just don't see things from my point of view, it felt like right. You really internalized it as it was your fault that the whole thing was happening in the first place, because of whatever reason, because you take the weight of the world inward.
Yes. And so I'm not, so yes, I do internalize things, and this is why I don't speak up for myself very often. Because when I do, I don't get this satisfaction. I have a coworker who, is constantly engaging with trolls and everything online. And I'm just like, why bother? And she says, because I want them to feel ashamed of themselves. And
whoa,
I know. Which, and I haven't convinced her yet that I doubt they ever will feel ashamed of themselves. Trolls be trolls. But, the point is that I don't really want anybody to feel ashamed of themselves. But I'm really bad at speaking up because I'm always the one left feeling ashamed. You know, it's really hard for me to just sit in my righteous indignation and be correct and make that the be all end all, because here's the thing. I stuck up for myself with this elderly person in my life. And then, and really probably to an outsider, it would look like I was calling her out on something. Mm-hmm. Honestly, if I put my logical and, analytical head on it, I still feel fairly justified in doing. Mm-hmm. But the result was not, oh, I'm sorry, you're right, I need to stop that, or oh, and this is my point, it never is that. The response was, I really don't like how you talk to me sometimes. And then she started crying, and then I felt like I kicked a puppy.
Yeah.
And then I hated myself.
I'm really glad you didn't kick a puppy though.
Well, but it's just that would like... be,
because then you should hate yourself if you're a puppy kicker. So all you puppy kickers listening, I've called you out. I've drawn a line in the sand. That is despicable behavior. But Marjorie,
oh my
did not.
God, you say that, but there's a dude that I just read about in Round Rock who intentionally ran over his dog, and there was a mile long trail of blood.
Oh my God, that's horrifying. Why would horrifying. You tell me that even happened? That's nightmare material, and it's late where I am.
So there are puppy kickers that exist.
That's okay.
But
well,
I doubt that they're ashamed because you tried to shame them.
Well, they're probably not listeners of our podcast, if we're being honest. I just don't feel like we're really targeting the puppy kicker demographic.
Anyway, but I mean, that's usually how it is with me. This is why I don't speak up. This is why I tend to internalize, because on the rare occasion, I'm like, yo, that's not okay. Don't do that to me. Mm-hmm. I always end up feeling way worse than if I would have just said,
So what happened?
And moved on with life.
Well, so can I, are you willing to talk a little bit about what happens for you in the dark place? Because I have a theory that everyone's dark place is a little bit specific to them, but that everyone has a dark place. I have a dark place. You don't probably know about all the dark times, but maybe you do.
Clearly, from your TED Talk, I do not.
I am pretty resourceful. I will say that I was raised with a great perspective on the world, having a best-selling self-help author father. It's a tongue twister, but having that as a resource in my life was unique and definitely set me up with resourcefulness around my own mental habits. So my buoyancy when I go to the dark place is maybe quicker than some, but maybe not. I don't actually know. It's just what it seems like. But so I tend to move into action instead of dwelling in the dark place, but I've got a very dark place, just like most people. And so I'm curious if you're willing to share about yours, or if you would want to hear about mine first to feel safe doing that, or I don't know.
Either or. I'm good. Yeah, so I punish myself with food, and this is why I say, I get hungry, I binge, it's like I need to eat all the things right now, and it's never anything like, you know, a lot of times I think people think of fat people as, you know, you just can't put down the cheeseburger, or I can eat a lot of food, and then, I don't know how to explain it, it's almost like when you hear of people doing horrible, horrible things, and then they don't even remember doing that. Mm-hmm. Instead of doing horrible, horrible things, I eat horrible, horrible things. And it's like, it's like all of a sudden there's an empty container and I'm going, wait a minute.
But so you do, does that, but that behavior isn't unique to when you're in the dark place, is it? Or is it?
I'm probably in the dark place more than you realize. I live in my head a lot.
Yeah, I think most people do. I mean,
well, but I think most people are super distracted by, you know, families and responsibilities and, you know, like you, for instance, have person or persons in your household, you know?
Right. Yeah.
When you don't have person or persons in your household, and you even have a dog that is just like, you know, when you start crying, goes and gives you this look like, you call me when you get your shit together, and goes and squishes herself up in the other room. For real.
I thought pets were supposed to be a support for their owners. Man.
Mine's just like, I'll show you problems. So my version of self-flagellation, self-flagellation, sorry. That took the form of an entire box of brownie bites and probably a third of a gallon of milk. And when that didn't cut it, I made, you know, the, like, you know how normally queso is like, you know, you mix some Velveeta and Rotel together.
Is that how that's made?
I like to come, yeah, that's exactly how that's made.
I didn't know. I've never made it.
Anyway, I had a pound of American cheese slices, but it wasn't the kind that was singly wrapped. It was, you know, mm-hmm. the, like, block. And so I mixed that with a can of chili. That's the kind I usually like. And mm-hmm. so I ate the whole friggin' thing. So a pound of cheese, an entire pound can of cheese. Yes, I know. This is after the brownie bites and milk, right?
Wow.
Cheese, I know. And a can of chili, and that was eaten with about a half a bag of tortilla chips. And it was like, and this wasn't just truly delicious food by any stretch of the imagination. This was trash. This mm-hmm. was trash that shouldn't have even been in my house. This tells you this frame of mind I was in when I even ordered groceries, right?
Yeah.
And so anyway, but you know, normally I wouldn't eat the entire thing in one sitting. But I just felt like crap. I felt like horrible crap. And I really didn't have anyone to talk me down in the moment. And, you know, and I'll be honest, I shouldn't have to have anybody to talk me down. Mm-hmm.
You know what right. I mean? Well, that was, it's good that you said that because I had that thought. I was like, well, no, I feel like if you're relying on somebody to talk you down, it's not yeah. a great strategy.
No, it's not. But I'm saying, I think a lot of people in their dark places, they may not get to that point. Yeah. Because they've got, you know, they've got kids and spouses and, you know, whatever, and, you know, or people that can distract them, or, you know, and not that I don't have responsibilities, and not that, but it's just, look, I'm alone. I have a dog that just.
Well, it's self-medication. It's self-medication. That's what yes. that is. So you're providing yes. your own distraction with yes. the food is what exactly I'm hearing. What
yeah.
Where some people self-medicate with booze, or some people self-medicate with activity. So they're never still.
Right.
Or some people distract by listening to podcasts and might be doing that right now.
So point being, and I was miserable, like, when all of that was done, like, I mean, for goodness sake, I had eaten an entire pound of cheese mm-hmm. and a can of chili. I mean, and it was like, I wasn't even conscious almost of doing it. It was weird. It was like this just absolute need to, I don't know, screw myself over and quickly, you know?
Now, did your stomach problem start before you ate all that or after? The stomach problems you're associating with the heat.
Okay. So yesterday I thought my stomach problems were probably due to that.
Uh-huh.
But it's been out of my system today. It shouldn't have been that way, you know? Hmm. Like, this isn't my first radio.
Sure.
So, it's usually like a 24-hour thing that I'm sick, and then, you know, I'm fine.
Because I was gonna say, if you throw that much food into your system when it's not what you're normally eating,
maybe
like it seems like that would throw your system then into some kind of shock.
Well, yeah, it did. I mean, I just felt like, you know, and I think that contributed to my water weight. And I think that's why I finally just gave in and took a water pill. Although I will say, before this happened, I was retaining water, and I was last week already starting to kind of put on weight.
It's so fascinating because it's kind of hard to untangle
there's a lot of things going on there.
Yeah, if the diet isn't working, or if the heat is causing the thing, or if the eating that much food is throwing your system into a tizzy, it's so much to untangle. I can understand why you're struggling.
Well, and I think that's why, too, I'm not really ready to just blame the diet. Mm-hmm. Because, and the other thing, too, is I've been on this diet many years ago. And had more success than I'm having right now.
Yeah.
The situation was a little different. I wasn't working. But yeah, it was a little bit different the last time I was on it, but I was fairly successful until I just got bored with it, you know?
Sure.
Which, drinking two meals a day and, you know, just eating one sensible meal is a little boring after a while.
Yeah.
But that's why I'm really not ready to blame the diet for this. I'm really, you know, I honestly think it's the heat, my body, and my mind, my mental state.
Well, so which one do you get centered with first?
Well, I've been trying to get my mental state kind of centered first. Mm-hmm. It helped that I was so miserable that I felt like a beached whale on Sunday.
It helped?
Well, I mean, it helped as far as, like, you know, I'm not really wanting to do that again right now. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
Because that misery is still very present in my mind. So I'm not really wanting to super overeat right now. And so I think that's why the heat is definitely a contributing factor.
Sure. But, you know, I find that, like, throwing my system into a tizzy has longer effects than it should. Like, in college, in my 20s, I did something called the Body for Life Challenge. I wonder if this is just, like, a thing that all women do. They just sit around and they're like, did you try this crazy diet? No, I tried this crazy diet. Anyway, I tried the Body for Life Challenge, which was a food and fitness regimen, and people have been extremely successful with it. They go from flab to fab in a matter of whatever, and you can win money. It's but it's highly regulated, but you have, you know, your meals that you make, and then you have your fitness routine that you do, and it's 6 days a week of intensity. And then this on the seventh day, because similarly to the 10-hour coffee diet plan, on the seventh day, if it was good enough for the Lord to rest after creating us, well, we must get that too. So on the seventh day, you're allowed to have a cheat day. And on my cheat day, I had been losing weight steadily and gaining muscle, and it was working. On one of my cheat days, because I was in college, I was cramming for an exam, I went to Denny's and had the appetizer platter, which had a couple of mozzarella sticks, a couple of chicken fingers, a couple of, I don't know, what, onion rings. It, you know, had like a little bit of everything fried. And I didn't eat the entire thing, but I ate a good chunk of it. And the following morning, I weighed in at 12 pounds more than the previous day.
It was the cheese and the fried, yeah.
12 pounds from one meal. And guess how, and this is in my 20s at the peak of health. So guess how long it took me to take those 12 pounds off and get back to where I was before I ate that and then start losing again?
How long?
Guess. I was at the peak of health.
Peak of health?
Mm-hmm.
A day or two.
It took 2 weeks.
Shut the front door.
Took. Before I could get back to where I was and start losing again.
Wow.
So I think that the consequences for those types of things and last longer than we care to admit.
That's probably true. I just know that judging by what came out of me yesterday, it's gone.
Well, that's disgusting. I can only edit so many of these out.
No. You're trying to be all like self-helpy and guru-y, and I'm just like, no, you don't understand.
Oh, you want to play that game? Fart, fart, fart. Poop, poop, poop.
So yeah, right now, like, I had a really bad morning this morning, and it was just, and it was, it was fat related, a lot of it. So because of my bad knee, I have that disabled license plate because right. it's hard for me to walk. And anyway, so a few weeks ago, this guy that's a security guard comes up to me and he's just like, he kind of chased me down a little bit. And while I was waiting for the elevator, he was like, excuse me, I just want to make sure that, you know, you're allowed to park there. And I'm just like, well, yeah, I have the license. Like, you know, it's not like I didn't display the proper, you know?
Yeah.
And so anyway, he was just like, yeah, well, I just need to make sure that it's really yours. And I'm like, yeah, it's mine. You know, do you need me to prove it to you? Like, I happen to be carrying my hanging one with me, which had the first several numbers of my driver's license and my initials. And, mm-hmm. and he's like, no, that's okay. We think that, you know, we just want to make sure that everybody's okay to park there because we think people have been taking advantage. Okay. So I felt a little singled out.
It's kind of like getting carded when you're over 21, though, isn't it? Like, shouldn't you be like, oh, thank you that you think I'm so able-bodied? You know what I mean? Like,
yes and no, because I think a lot of people, well, I get what you're saying, but at the same time, I think people are so judgy when it comes to these things. And I think because, okay, first of all, I'm supposed to be walking with a cane. I'm super vain about it. I hate walking with the cane. You know, I'm not old, right? Mm-hmm, and I realize, mm-hmm. but I mean, and these are my issues, you know, but a doctor has told me you need to walk with the cane in your right hand at all times.
Right. Because, which is why you keep it in the trunk of your car in case you decide
exactly, yes,
why to use the cane.
Well, because sometimes I do need it, you know,
it's like, oh my God. The other day, Eric and I are the road and we see a guy coming the other way on a bicycle and his bicycle helmet is hanging from the handlebars. it's just hanging, and this guy's at full speed and we're just coming at him and we didn't hit him, but Eric didn't think I wouldn't be giggling, first of all, but then Eric turns to me and he was like, well, at least he has his helmet. I'm just saying it's the same thing with your cane. That was why I told that story. Yeah.
But I do keep it in my car because sometimes I need it. Sometimes mm-hmm. I'm just an extra pain or whatever. But at work, honestly, I sit on my ass all day. And so most of my walking is either to the bathroom or the short walk between, you know, my office and the door. I mean, in my car.
Sorry. You know, so I heard a statistic that for every pound of weight that you are carrying on your corpus, that's 4 pounds of weight on your right. knee. So multiply the 250-pound goal by 4, and that's the amount of pressure that is on your joints.
Yeah, we've already been there. That yes, I need.
Did we do that already?
Yeah, I need to lose a half a ton.
Oh, yeah, right. We did that in the first episode. My, how time flies.
Well, anyway, the point being, so this guy singled me out several weeks ago. Okay, for the last few weeks, it may have even been there when I was mostly getting a parking place in front. For the last few weeks, there's been this red car that has been parked in one of the front places, and it does not have anything that looks like a disabled parker. There's no hanging thing. There's no plates. There's not even plates that say DV for disabled veteran. So there's just absolutely, this car is allowed to park there and there's no indication that they're allowed to park there. But me, that has plates on it, that are clearly disabled plates.
Mm-hmm.
Because some people are kind of misguided and think that, you know, they don't understand that DV is, but mine's not even a DV. Mine's got the little wheelchair on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he chose to give me a hard time. And like I say, I mean, yeah, I get where you think that that's kind of complimentary, but then at the same time, it's really not, because people are super judgy when it comes to that thing. Mm-hmm. All they know is that you're in one of the front parking places. And I think they get extra judgy when you're overweight. Like, you know, you're not really disabled, you're just fat. Mm. So I'm kind of sensitive about it.
Got it.
So Anyway, so every time I see that dang red car parked there, I'm just a little annoyed because it's right up front. Like I say, maybe they're legit. Maybe they're super legit. I don't know. And honestly, it's none of my business, you know? And so this is why I haven't said anything. But the fact that he singled me out to bug me about it, and yet here's something that he can literally see from his desk every single day that is not displaying anything that it should. And the fact that it's consistently allowed to park there every day. I don't even know who owns that car. You know what I mean?
That's ridiculous.
Well, yeah, it just makes me mad. And so, and it makes me feel bad about myself because I'm fat. And it's just this one security guard, and everybody else has just been super nice. So I already kind of, like, every time I have to park farther away and I see that car, I've got a chip on my shoulder. Like, that's how I begin my day. I get over it pretty quick, but that's how I begin my day. And anyway, so that happened. And then I get inside and I work on the second floor, and the elevator was out. And
oh no.
Nobody called to tell me. Like, hey, you might want to hang back and not come in right yet because the elevator's out. Everybody knows my situation. You know, nobody, like, I mean, my coworker didn't even bother to text me. So that kind of annoyed me. And again, I realized, like, who am I? The Queen of Sheba, that the world revolves around me. Mm-hmm. But it's just things like this that, you know, people just don't see things like that or think of things like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because of course
it doesn't
not
affect them. Right. And so anyway, and so I get there and I see the cones in front of the elevator, and I'm just like, the elevator's out. So the security guard, this is not the one that chased me down. This is a really nice dude.
The better one. Like,
yeah, he's another one, and he's super nice. And he's like, I'm so sorry, the elevator's out. And I'm like, well, this is no bueno. And he's like, I know it. It's really not. Aww. And which he was being super nice. Anyway, but now I've got to get upstairs to my desk. To anybody else, a flight of stairs is just not a big deal. To somebody that's carrying an extra 1,000 pounds on their knees.
See, now it's good that we brought it up again, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's completely bone on bone and, you know, is overweight. It's just like, that was really hard. And it just made me feel like I don't belong in this world. You know what I mean? It's just these little everyday things that I think people don't see, that don't have to deal with this stuff. And I realize, well, and then I get mad at myself for thinking these things because I can't tell you that there are people with real problems, you know?
This is a big obstacle in your life. This is big. And so there are lots of degrees of big problems, and your reality is the one that you live in. So I just don't think it's fair to say, like, my struggle isn't my struggle because other people have their struggle. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess I was kind of raised that way. I had a grandmother that, you know, whose motto was, it could always be worse, hon. So
sure, but it could always be better. I'll just say that also. Yeah, it could always be better. It could be better.
Well, and then there's a guilt associated with the fact that, you know, part of my problem is really my fault. And
right. But if all you do, but if all you do, and this is where the dark place is, and this is where the dark place is for all of the people who have the dark place, I'm pretty sure, is it's spending time dwelling on all of the things that happened before that moment to get you to that moment. It's thinking back to the block of cheese, for example, or thinking back to the conversation and replaying it in your mind. That's what I think. That's my theory. I, by the way, have done zero research about this, so.
You're about to have theories.
I love coming up with theories. I am not a scientist, so sometimes I just forget that I did. And then and then sometimes I find out somebody else had that theory and put in a ton of research and built up a bunch of evidence. And I was right, but I came up with the theory. It was so cool.
All on your own.
All by myself, I swear. Now, there are some theories that I have tested. This is not one of them. But it is something that I am chewing on, because there are other people in my life who also are in the dark place a lot. Community members, loved ones. There's several. And I there's a pattern there that I see emerging, and it takes different cadence with people. But it seems to be this thing where, like, you have a feeling. I'm using the word you because of the story you just told, but it's like you have this feeling, and then you try and dismiss this feeling, like you shouldn't be allowed to have the feeling because it's your fault that you have the feeling. And I feel like that's the cycle of problems. That's the spiral into the bad place.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and I promptly got to my desk and just bawled my eyes out, because it took me a good 5 minutes to walk up a darn flight of stairs, you know?
That sucks. I'm sorry, Marjorie.
It does suck. And like I say, and then, you know, like, personal accountability, personal responsibility, whatever, like, I am responsible for me. I am responsible for me getting to this place, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, part of me really wanted to lash out at my coworker who had been there for, you know, over an hour already and knew about that, you know, and be like, yo, why didn't you text me? You know?
Yeah.
And, like, I would have called my boss and said, hey, can you let me know when the elevator's fixed? Can we make other arrangements? Like, you know, but I didn't also want to be that person and didn't want to be a burden. So anyway, so then another wait thing happened. A few months ago, I got a new chair and a new office chair. The one that I had was kind of, you know, my back was hurting every day from it. And I mean, it is just so easy to be uncomfortable at work. It's just, you know, ergonomics are hard, man. But I liked it because it stayed up high enough that the pressure was off my knees. And so I avoided getting a new chair. And the girl that does the ordering, you know, she'd come in, are you sure you don't want me to get a new chair? And so finally, I gave in. I was like, yeah, I do want a new chair. And so she ordered me a new chair. And I was afraid of getting a new one because, like I say, the old one stayed up high enough that at least I wasn't, you know, having to fight with my knees hurting every day, which is just this constant battle for me. And so I got the new one. And sure enough, the hydraulics were just messed up, like, from the beginning. It would not stay up. But lately the fight has just, it's not like something I have to fight with every, say, 6 hours or so. So maybe I'm doing it once a day. This is something that is literally happening like every 15 minutes and driving me insane. When a chair is low for me, it puts a lot of pressure on my knees and it hurts. And then this chair lowers so much when the hydraulics are, you know, not allowing it to stay up, that I'm actually having to, it's almost like you're trying to eat at the big kid's table or something. And here I am trying to type and my hands are like at, you know, I would say instead, because, you know, you're supposed to keep them down and have your elbows bent kind of thing. But my hands are up, like, near my boobs. And my my shoulder starts hurting. Oh, it's awful. My neck starts hurting because then the monitors are at the wrong position. My shoulder starts hurting from how I'm having to hold my arms to type. And it's just miserable. And yet, here again, you know, I'm not really good at speaking up about stuff. You know, it's just like, I at first thought, well, this is my lot in life. So I looked up, knowing that she usually orders from a certain company. I looked on their website, found this chair, and I looked in the big and tall, and this chair is rated to hold more weight than I have weighed since I've had the chair. Point being, the hydraulics shouldn't be out the first day, you know?
Right, that seems premature.
Right, so I finally, even after, you know, after having it a few months, after I've fought with this thing four times that morning, anyway, and so I finally decided that it was probably a manufacturer's defect and not me, like I thought, you know, not a me defect. So anyway, so then I called and I was just like, hey, I think maybe this is the chair. I'm like, did you order the big and tall one or the regular one? And she's like, and she's a large person too. And so she's like, oh, honey, us big girls need the big and tall one. She's like, of course it was the big and tall one. And so I told her that, you know, since day one, but now the fight has just gotten to where I'm about to throw it across the room. And I mean, so anyway, so this morning, so I went to the dark place for a little while this morning, but I just managed to cry it out this morning.
Good.
And that's probably what I need. I am a testament to that Japanese study. I don't know who they're studying and how they're crying, but let me tell you, I cry a lot. I cry so much. So I don't believe in that Japanese study.
Oh man. Well, I hate to cut this off, but I have to because I have to get up very early. It's almost 11 o'clock here. I have to get up extremely early and facilitate for a full day tomorrow with a short break.
Yeah, I actually need to go too because I have to wake up in the morning. Anyway.
All right, so now I'll say things to wrap up the episode.
Okay. So what do you recommend doing instead of, you know, eating a pound of cheese or self-flagellation? Because that's always an option.
I mean, 2 pounds of cheese? No, don't. I'm kidding. I can't believe I said that. Okay, let's just rapid fire throw out ideas. Okay. We're just gonna go quickly. I'll say one, you say one. I'll say one, you say one. They don't have to be good ideas. They're just gonna be something you could do. Oh, that's, man. Not.
I'm out. Like, it has to be all your ideas because I'm truly at a loss.
Okay. Well, here's you like alphabets and you like lists.
I love alphabets and lists.
So that's what we're going to use because we're going to have to come up with something for every letter of the alphabet.
This sounds like an improv game.
What? Where did you get that idea from? I was just at the Applied Improv Network conference. Okay, so... So we're going to apply some improv. We're going to play an improv game. It's called the alphabet game. And a lot of times you'll see people play this as a scene, but we're playing the alphabet game here as a listing game, which is a really fun way to do it as well, where you list things using the letters of the alphabet as your guide. What we are listing is things that you could do that are not eating a pound of cheese. That's it.
Okay.
Those are the only constraints. Start with an A. Yeah, we're going to start with A. Would you like to go first or would you like to go second? And by the way, I do not know what I would say. So as soon as we press go, I'm going to have to just figure it out just like you.
Okay, you go first.
Okay, but you've got the letter B, so watch out. Okay, so, okay. All right. All right, things you can do that are not eating cheese. Okay. You could act like you're eating cheese. While not eating cheese, so you could just pretend.
Beat myself with a banana.
Did you say beat yourself with a banana? All right, very good. Now you get the hang of the game. C, cry like you're in a Japanese study.
D, spend time with my dog.
Dog time. All right, very nice.
Dog time, yes.
Okay, E, eat carrot sticks. Nope, because you're allergic. You could eat, right? Aren't you allergic to raw carrot sticks?
Yeah, just like raw vegetables in general. It's not, it's an outdoor allergy thing. I mean, it's real, but it's
I get it. It's annoying. All good. It's all good. I'll come up with something
better. It's more annoying than it'll kill me.
Okay, great. lettuce.
Okay.
It's a pound of lettuce. Yep.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Ooh, I could eat a pound of celery sticks. That's negative calories, right?
Oh, my goodness. Eat a pound of celery sticks.
Okay. Flagellate myself.
G. Go somewhere.
H. Say howdy to someone that I don't talk to very often.
Ice. You could ice sculpt. Like, you could carve something up into ice.
J. Watch the joggers.
I'm just picturing you sitting by the window. There goes another jogger, ladybug. See them go? All right, J. K. You could kiss a pound of cheese and put it back.
L, write a letter.
Okay.
Letter write.
M, moon your neighbors.
N, oh my God, I'm drawing a blank.
Nap.
Oh my God, that's like so good.
O, open an emotional bank account with yourself. Ew. And make a little love deposit. We only have a few letters left. Thank you, listeners, for hanging in there.
P. P.S. de resistance. No.
P. Oh.
Oh, go in the pool.
Q. Quit it. Just quit it. Maybe you say it out loud to yourself. You're like, I feel sad. Quit it. Not advocating that strategy. But if you do try it, let me know how it goes.
R. Ring a bell.
S. Sex.
It can be
sex for one. There's no pressure. It could be sex for seven. I don't know. I don't want to be limiting.
Okay. T. Time out.
You understand that you are a worthy human being who doesn't have to self-medicate and can just exist.
V. Very. Give Bye. Very much thanks for all the things that are nice in my world.
W. Wear a pretty outfit.
Oh, that's a good one.
You know, that's like that song. It's like the put on your Sunday clothes when you feel down and out. Walk down the street and have your picture took. Just like a dream, your spirit seems to turn about. That's Sunday sign is a certain sign that you feel as fine as you look. Beneath your parasol, the world is all aglow. That makes you feel brand new down to your toes. No, all right, I'll stop.
Okay, X word. Well, you know, the only thing that comes to mind with X is I used to play the xylophone. Maybe I could take that up again.
Oh, yeah. That's good. I like that. X, Y, yawn.
Oh, man, you had to say it. Like,
are you yawning now?
Empathetic person.
No, if you start, I'm going to start. And then we're both going to be yawning. But we're down to the last letter.
Okay, Z. Z end. No.
Z end. And with that. All right. Well, I appreciate you talking so candidly and also being so game to play that really dumb game. And good night.
Have fun wherever you are.
Thank you. Right back at ya.
Okay.
And listeners, may you have fun wherever you are. All right. Bye.
Bye.